Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call of Electro Steel Castings Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikash Verma from EYLP. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Quarter 3 and 9 months FY24 earnings call for Electro Steel Castings Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to express our gratitude to each of you joining the call today. To discuss the performance of the company and to answer the questions, we have with us from the company Mr. Uddhav Kejriwal, Whole-Time Director, Mr. Madhav Kejriwal, Whole-Time Director, Mr. Ashutosh Agarwal, Whole-Time Director and CFO, and Mr. Gaurav Somani, General Manager Finance. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to various risks, uncertainties, and other factors, which will be beyond management control. We kindly request that you bear in mind there may be uncertainties when interpreting such statements. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We will now start the session with opening remarks from the management team. Afterwards, we will open the floor for an interactive Q&A session. I would now like to invite Mr. Madhav Kejriwal to make his opening remarks. Thank you. And over to you, Madhav.
Thank you. A very good afternoon to all and a warm welcome. Highlighting the company's Q3 FY24 operational performance, it gives me great pleasure to share with you that we have registered our highest ever quarterly EBITDA and PAT of ₹429 crores and ₹263 crores respectively. This was on the back of an income that stood at 1,814 crores, led by a strong demand from the domestic markets owing to the government's Jal Jeevan Mission, Amrut and irrigation schemes. Additionally, on the margin front, the company registered its highest ever EBITDA margin and PAT margin of 22.7% and 13.9%. We saw our blast furnace in the Kharda unit go under repair and maintenance this quarter, owing to which we will be able to see some benefits in the aforesaid coming quarters. This is our balance sheet is stronger now, backed by robust performance. We are confident that with support of all the stakeholders, continued performance improvement and focus on the government to provide for India's water requirements, the balance sheet will grow to be much stronger in the coming times. This will be by a combination of various factors such as a strong order book, economies of scale and operational efficiencies. This quarter, we were able to sustain our growth momentum with better volumes at our South unit. During the quarter, our pipe volumes stood at 1,95,000 tons. The export share of this was 16%. The government's ambitious JJM project, which was launched for connecting every rural household with tap water connections, has achieved a 74.1% of its national target till date. Over 10.2 crore rural households now have safe access to drinking water. From India's total 19 crore rural households, nearly 14.3 crore households have gotten tap connections. We opened this quarter with an order book of 6 lakh tons, which provides visibility to us for 9 to 10 months. The ongoing capex is progressing as planned, thereby maintaining the company's leadership stance. The interim budget of 24-25's vision of Viksit Bharat by 2047 is poised to spur infrastructure spending, benefiting Electro Steel for varied product applications like continuous safe drinking water, sewage, irrigation, and others, which will lead to an increase demand for ductile iron pipes. Additionally, rise in global water infrastructure spending adds visibility to our order book, making us a preferred partner for key water infrastructure projects both in the domestic and export markets. Nearly 5 crore households are yet to be connected with drinking tap water under the Jal Jeevan scheme. Additionally, Amrut 2.0 will continue to drive demand for ductile iron pipes and fitting products in the coming years. There is a growing need for better water infrastructure products in the global market for securing drinking water as well. Owing to this, we are pretty confident about the future of the organization. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Ashutosh Agarwal, Whole-Time Director and CFO, for taking you through the Electro Steel Castings Q3 FY24 financial highlights.
Thank you, Madhavji. Good afternoon and a warm welcome to all the investors present in this conference. I would like to first start with the Q3 performance, consolidated performance of the company. The ECL total income stood to 1,892 crores in this quarter. EBITDA surged by 112% to 429 crores in this quarter. EBITDA margin spanned by 1,183 bps year-on-year basis to 22.7%. PAT grew to 236% to rupees 253 crores in this quarter. PAT margin expanded by 972 bps year-on-year basis to 13.9%. Now moving to standalone performance of the company. Company sold 195,253 tons of DI pipe during this quarter. Company's total income was 1,814 crores. EBITDA grew by 124% year-on-year basis to 412 crores in Q3 2024. EBITDA margin expanded 1,223 bps year-on-year to 22.7%. PAT grew by 286% year-on-year to 256 crores in this quarter. PAT margin expanded by 1,016 bps year-on-year to 13.9% during this quarter. Moving to consolidated performance of 9 months, company total income was 5,542 crores during this 9 months. EBITDA surged by 58% year-on-year to 935 crores with a EBITDA margin of 16.9%. PAT grew by 126% year-on-year to rupees 513 crores with PAT margin of 9.3%. EPS for 9 months during this financial year was rupees 8.5. Moving to standalone performance up to 9 months, company sold 5,50,886 tons of pipe during this 9 months. Company total income was 5,232 crores during this period. EBITDA surged by 58% year-on-year to 927 crores with a EBITDA margin of 17.7%. PAT grew by 122% year-on-year to PAT ₹2,517 crores with a PAT margin of 9.9%. EPS was 8.67%. Now I'm talking about CapEx plan. UCL has spent 340 crores till date for the expansion plan, which is 650 crores. Ongoing capacity in progress as per the plan. New capacity is expected to be started by September-October 2025, which will take the company to the overall capacity of 9 lakh tons per annum. As on 31st December 2023, gross debt of the company came down to ₹2,100 crores and net debt stands to ₹1,680 crores. Company net debt to equity ratio stands to 0.66 is to 1 as on 31st December 2023. ECL's adjusted ROCE and ROE annualized after adjusting coal mine compensation receivable, which is due to receive and appearing in the books of accounts, stands to 20.2% and 20% respectively as on December 2023. Now I'm opening the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vikas Singh from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Very good afternoon, Vikas ji.
Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is regarding our profitability. It is far higher or probably the best ever EBITDA per ton. How much is sustainable in this, and what factors contributed to such a significantly high profitability, if you could give us some info on that?
So, sir, I'll answer in two parts. I'll start off with what are the factors that have led to this. One of the major factors that have played a key role in this would be the economies of scale and the improvement in the operational efficiencies, along with a little support from a good hedging scenario that we saw for our raw material prices. In terms of sustainability, we are seeing some strong tailwinds from the demand perspective as well, and even from our continuous efforts towards operational efficiencies. So I would say that the outlook is strong for the foreseeable future.
But going forward, would we be able to maintain the similar kind of margins, or it's a very tall expectation, and we should take it as a 15,000 to 18,000 kind of the range? What would you like to guide to us?
Sir, I think barring a minor fluctuation of a few percentage points here and there, I feel that foreseeable future, it seems pretty good.
Understood, sir.
Yeah, I've also...
And secondly... Please. Sorry, please.
No, please, Vikashji. I was saying that we have also been planning our raw materials, hedging it according to our order book. As I mentioned, we have a very strong order book of 6 lakh tons against 4.5 lakh tons last year. So to accommodate for our increased order book and also our expansion in terms of volumes, we are working on efficient utilization of working capital and keeping our raw material inventory at a certain level to maintain margins. So that is an exercise which will help us sustain these sort of profitability and EBITDA margins.
Wonderful, sir. So my second question regarding this blast furnace realigning. So what kind of the production loss we could experience in the next year, or there is a possibility that in the later part of the year we would be able to cope up with this? So if you could give us some idea about that.
So the loss of production that we would have that we've seen due to this would be around 25,000 tons, but we managed to make up for a good percentage of it through an improved performance by our south team. Due to the relining, we are expecting to increase the capacity of our east unit by around 50,000 tons. So that is the advantage that we are seeing of this for this quarter, the remaining 2 months, and for the next financial year.
Understood, sir. And sir, we are already running at kind of our 8 lakh ton annualized run rate. So by when we would be able to reach that 9+ kind of the annualized rate?
So pro rata basis, I think mid next financial year we will hit that target, maybe be starting quarter three next year latest. But so far everything is going as per the timeline. So you can say somewhere around mid quarter two of next financial year.
Understood. And one, just one last question more. Sir, everybody is increasing their capacities tremendously. I know you have kept telling us that the market is very buoyant, but do you expect that since these capacities are all coming within a stipulated time frame and usually demand increases in a linear curve over the longer time, so we can face any problem in next year or thereafter for a short period of time?
Sir, foreseeable future, to give you a very frank answer, I was not being able to understand how so much material will be able to be supplied by the ductile iron industry. But I think the with the capacities coming in, it's only a support to the industry to maintain its stature as the most preferred product to be used in water pipelines. So I look at it more as a support factor than a problem for some time at least.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side, and thank you and all the best for future.
Thank you very much, Vikash.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity and many congratulations on good results. So my first question was that so we are the largest exporters of DI pipe from India, and for us, Europe remains a key market. So considering this, wanted to understand what are the key projects for DI pipes in Europe plus UK region, and what kind of opportunity does those projects create for us? Additionally, are there any capacity expansions announced by existing players in these regions? And third, considering the anti-dumping duty, how competitive are our products as compared to local players like Saint Gobain or other local players, or even considering the Chinese players?
So, ma'am, a lot of the projects that we are envisaging in the European territory will be a repercussion of the EU funding that has been put in place post the COVID pandemic. There is robust demand in a lot of Eastern European countries and also in France and Italy. In regard to the capacity expansion of our competitors, there is no indication of any sort of capacity expansion by the local players in Europe. And we see that there is enough place for both them and us to coexist, considering the focus of the governments to improve and upgrade their water infrastructure. In regard to the dumping, we do envisage this to affect our margins marginally, not a lot, a very insignificant amount, because the overall pricing situation over there is such where we have comfortable cushioning against that.
Any highlights on what is the kind of anti-dumping duty on us versus the Chinese or other countries as well?
Against China, we are still at a lower dumping duty than them. There is still a differential of 7 to 8% between our and their dumping duty.
And so you mentioned that our products are quite competitive as compared to the local players. So what gives us that edge, considering that, you know, we are exporting from here and they are manufacturing there? So considering all the logistics costs involved, what gives us this competitive edge over others?
Ma'am, energy cost is a big aspect of it. Economies of scale is another part of it. Labor costs, and also
we tend to operate our plants a little more efficiently because we are running at full capacities. They have fluctuating issues due to labor problems, fluctuating energy, and also I think overall slightly less invested in their manufacturing. I would say we are continuously upgrading our machinery and our processes, which they don't partake in as aggressively as we do.
All right, thanks. So secondly, on the Middle East front, so we are given to understand that Middle East is investing a lot in their water projects. So could you explain the demand-supply scenario of the entire region of the Middle East countries as a whole? And given these investments by government in the Middle East region, what kind of opportunity is that expected to create for the DI pipes, particularly in the coming 3 to 5 years?
The major market in the Middle East would be Saudi Arabia at the moment. We are seeing some good pull also coming in from Kuwait and Oman. UAE and Qatar remain to be stable markets, but they are very niche markets requiring specialized production. Fortunately, we are one of the only manufacturers from India who is able to cater to that need. We are quite optimistic regarding Saudi Arabia at this point. I think we can add a bit of, I would say, approximately another improvement of 5 to 7% in our overall volumes to Saudi Arabia going forward progressively. Although that market does have players in it as well, but there's a lot and enough for everybody. And going to the fact that we've been established players, we've been there for many years. Once we are the first choice beyond the indigenous manufacturers.
Sir, in our previous PPTs, one of the presentations, we had mentioned that we are expecting that Indian market is expected to grow at 11 to 13% CAGR for DI pipes. So, given that we are seeing a lot of push in the Middle East region, so in the near to medium term, is it such that Middle East is expected to grow at a higher rate as compared to the growth rate expected in India, or would it be in a similar range?
I think it will be slightly lesser, ma'am. It's a geographically smaller country, and even in terms of population distribution, it's not as it is in India. So, owing to that, the growth will be slightly slower. But yes, at the same time, it will probably be at number two in terms of growth rate. Close to India, but slightly lower.
So 11 to 13% for India would be correct, and maybe 9 to 10% for Middle East?
Yes, 8 to 10% for Middle East, yes.
Okay. So you mentioned that we are one of the only players exporting there. So could you also explain how competitive are we as compared to local players in the Middle East, and our key USP in that market?
And our?
Our key USP in that market.
Well, ma'am, I'll answer the other way around. Our USP is that we have a pretty high-functioning warehouse in Bahrain with also fabrication facilities, which helps us give confidence to the customers of effective delivery. In terms of quality, since we've been an established player for many years, there is no issue with the customer on that front. So that is these are our two main USPs. In terms of preference over local manufacturers, and they are a bit of a protectionist nation, so I wouldn't say that there is a preference over local manufacturers, but I would say there's an equal footing with local manufacturers that we are allowed.
the preference actually giving the raw material dynamics of India, iron ore and coking coal, considering that dynamics of India versus the Middle East, so do we have any advantage over the cost of production of players in DI pipes of Middle East?
I'm taking into consideration the small import duty that is available and the slight protectionist measure that some tenders come out with, wherein a price differential is allowed to the local manufacturers. We somewhat end up at the same level. There's no real price advantage per se for not the entirety of the Middle East, for Saudi Arabia. When we talk about UAE, Qatar, Kuwait, Oman, over there we have a reasonable advantage on pricing because they don't have these said duties.
Okay. So that recently Middle East has announced an 80, actually Saudi Arabia has announced this $80 billion project for water infrastructure desalination project. So wanted to understand that how much of this would be allocated to DI? So in India, if a project is announced, usually we assume around 20% of the project cost to be allocated to DI. Could we take a similar number for Middle East region?
Ma'am, this is an exercise that our team is doing. I don't want to give you the wrong number. I think maybe offline, once we have that number, we can communicate the same to you.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir. So lastly, one question. Currently, our exports is around 1.2 lakh tons. So you mentioned that our exports mix was Middle East.
Can you come in the queue for follow-up question?
Yes, sure, sir. Thanks, and really thanks for answering the questions in detail.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Sailesh Raja from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So this question you have already answered, but I still need more clarity. So historically, DI pipes used to make, say, 9 to 10 rupees EBITDA. Now industry or electricity are doing 16 to 18 range. So in this incremental 6-8 rupees, can you give rough breakup of this incremental benefit that we are getting? How much is because of scale? How much is because of the process improvement? How much is because of raw material benefit? And because of favorable dynamics benefit, how much we are getting? Because the industry, say, next 1 year time, they're adding 1 million tons of capacity, actually. So do you still think this kind of EBITDA is sustainable? I need to understand, sir.
So, sir, I'm sorry, just one correction I would like to make. Historically, DI has seen around 11 to 12 rupees of EBITDA. At a bad year, yes, you are correct, it was around 9 to 10 rupees, but at a long-term average, it's around 12 rupees, 12,000 rupees, rather, per ton. And I think in terms of raw material, that probably contributes to 2 to 3% of the entire improvement portion of the EBITDA margins. A big chunk of it is to do with better economies of scale and the demand pull that is there.
Okay. Could you please talk about today's rejection rate in DI pipes for us? 2-3 years back, what was the rejection rate and how much it is now? And what are the initiatives that we are taking to reduce the rejection rates?
Rejection rates?
Yeah. Process loss.
You mean in terms of manufacturing?
Yeah, correct, sir.
So that is a very fluctuating situation. As you know, we make pipes for all sorts of markets. So, it varies over time depending on what material we are making, on dyes, etc., etc. So this is a complicated answer to really give you a single number. But it's in the lower single digits.
Okay. Any improvement you are seeing, sir, in 2 years back, how much it was now, how much it is, any improvement you are seeing?
Yes, definitely. I think there is a substantial improvement from what it was earlier. Because there's better machinery, more advanced machinery that we have put in, and as you pick up on certain tonnages and the machine picks up on certain paces, and your manpower also gets more skilled. So those factors are leading to improved rejection rates by a good margin.
Okay. So could you please talk about this rubber gasket project, how much you are investing, what is the payback that we are expecting?
Hi, this is Udav here. So for the rubber gasket project, I don't think it would be prudent to say anything much beyond the fact that at present we have only envisaged to produce enough for substituting the gasket purchasing that we are doing for supplies along with our orders. In addition to that, yes, we are at an advanced stage of contemplating how we can utilize this opportunity to do more or better or different and do other value-added products also. But since that has not yet been crystallized 100%, it would not be right to speak about that. But yes, this gasket project will definitely take care of the entire buying that we are doing, and it will be now our own gaskets that will be used in totality after this comes into production.
Yes. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Pinaki Banerjee from AUM Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, actually, in this quarter, actually, the top line actually was absolutely flat, given the fact, yes, there was a plant shutdown at a Kharda plant, and you had primarily got the advantages of low raw material cost and the low finance cost. So, sir, considering how much top line numbers are you expecting to report for FY24, and just now you mentioned that you have about got an order book of 6 lakh tons. So, what is the growth you are expecting in the FY25?
What is the
growth figures, growth percentage you are expecting in FY25, given the order book you have in hand?
The growth of what? Which
in terms of top line.
In terms of top line. So, sir, this year we are going to end with around
7.4. So, sir, good afternoon. As you are already aware from whatever details we have shared in public domain and also in clarifications on this call, we did have a shutdown for maintenance and improvement in our Kharda plant in the third quarter. In spite of that, we are expecting that we will be closing this financial year with definitely an EBITDA margin of around 18%, if not better.
Okay. And sir, how much and sales? How much top line you are expecting?
And going forward, the growth percentage that you are talking about, I am sure next financial year, that is 24-25, we will see additional capacity coming upstream with our capacity increase going through in the southern side of the operations. Also, eastern side will be performing to full and improved efficiency after the activities that we have undertaken during the shutdown. So, okay. In terms of EBITDA margin, I feel that we should be showing an improvement of a couple of percentage points over the EBITDA margin at which we closed this year. Keeping in mind the vagaries and the cyclical fluctuations in raw material, I think it would be more prudent to say on a conservative basis that if we close this financial year around 18%, if not better marginally, then definitely another 2-2.5% we should be seeing improvement in the next financial year, if not more, keeping in mind the other uncertainties in this business.
Okay. Sir, my next question is that the general elections are coming, and most probably if you see by the time it gets over, half of Q1 FY25 will already be gone. So are you expecting any slowdown in the intake of new orders or in execution?
Not at all, sir. I think, unfortunately, due to the
COVID-19 situation and also major fluctuations. Last year, beginning of raw material prices, there was a slight slowdown in the overall progress of Jal Jeevan Mission. Okay. Also, since it's a state plus center initiative, there were certain states which were not able to back up the requirements.
Okay.
From capital perspective, I think there is enough pending for them to really push through the entire election period as well.
Okay. So just another year. So just can you break up the revenue into four regions? And what percentage comes from eastern, northern, or western and southern region?
सर ये चीज हर महीने में अलग मिलेगी आपको
ओके
ये आपको मैं बता नहीं पाऊंगा क्योंकि एज यू नो प्रोजेक्ट्स जहां के ऑर्डर बुक किए हुए होते हैं किनका रिक्वायरमेंट कब होता है उस बेसिस पे ये बहुत चेंज होता रहता है
ओके ओके
ठीक है ओके मार्केट्स आई कैन से नॉर्थ ईस्ट एंड साउथ आर आवर मेन मार्केट्स इन टर्म्स ऑफ ओवरऑल रेवेन्यू वी आर स्लाइटली lower on the western market.
Okay, fine. Okay, so that's all from my end, and thanks and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Rajesh Bhandari from Nakoda Engineers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Very good afternoon.
And congratulations for the excellent results. Sir, existing. ये रिजल्ट्स अपन आपने बातचीत किया उससे आइडिया तो लगा ये रिजल्ट्स हम आगे दो तीन साल ऐसे ही बताते पाएंगे सर बताते रहेंगे
सर एज माय ब्रदर वाज मेंशनिंग वी आर वेरी ऑप्टिमिस्टिक अबाउट द फ्यूचर इन टर्म्स ऑफ बोथ डिमांड एंड इम्प्रूवमेंट्स फ्रॉम आवर एंड ऑन वॉल्यूम टर्म्स और एफिशिएंसीज व्हिच विल हेल्प ऑन द कॉस्टिंग फ्रंट सो द रॉ मटेरियल सपोर्ट दैट we have gotten, which I mentioned, is probably to the effect of 3-4%.
Yeah.
That should be able to be overcome by the higher margins and economies of scale. Seeing that certain uncertainties are difficult to predict on a long-term basis, so I would say that, I would maybe discount it by a few percentage points and say that that would be pretty sustainable for the foreseeable future.
बिकॉज अपना मतलब दो तीन क्वार्टर पहले रिजल्ट्स जो थे सर और अभी जो रिजल्ट्स आ रहे हैं मतलब नोबडी कैन इवन इमेजिन कि इतने बढ़िया रिजल्ट्स हो सकते हैं
सर
ऑफकोर्स कॉन्ग्रेचुलेशन आपका एफिशिएंसी वगैरह बहुत इम्प्रूव हुआ है तो और दूसरा सर ये जो 7-9 lakhs का जो कैपेसिटी एक्सपांशन है आई एम लिटिल कंफ्यूज ये FY25 में आ रहा है सर या FY26 में आ रहा है
So the pro rata production would kick in 25 in the sense that monthly production capable of going up to 9 lakh tons you will see in FY25 mid. But of course since it's coming mid-year we will not be able to take advantage of it for the entire financial year. So you will see that kick in FY26 as a whole.
Or jaise in one of the last investor meet, we were told that March quarter generally is far better than the other quarters. So this year also we can expect it will be better than the third quarter?
Sir, because of the robust demand, that phenomena of March quarter being better is kind of now omnipresent throughout the financial year. So I don't see there will be that jump.
Now all quarters are like March quarter. Okay. और दूसरा सर माइनिंग के लिए मेरे को दो चीज पूछना था
हेलो कैन यू कम इन द क्यू फॉर द फॉलोअप क्वेश्चन
ओके
थैंक यू सर द नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज फ्रॉम द लाइन ऑफ अजय शर्मा फ्रॉम मे बैंक प्लीज गो अहेड
Yeah, hi. Actually, I wanted to ask, the coking coal prices have been going up recently. So, I mean, how do you expect that to impact your profitability going forward? And how much inventory do you carry normally?
Hi, good afternoon. So, on the coking coal front, there are some points that we need to look into. For the quarter that has gone by, that is the October to December period, we have seen drastic fluctuations
in the prices of the coals, which is very reflective in the fluctuation in the dominating index, number one. Number two, all the categories of coal that are purchased are largely a determinant or a percentage factor of this prime main index. Now, keeping this in mind, we also have to balance in terms of the inventory management and also of how invested we are in the inventory on one side, and also on the other side we have to take pragmatic decisions keeping in mind the way the market is behaving. And largely so because quite a few times the market, the way it behaves, there is in the complete absence of any logic or rational to what is happening also at times. So what we have tried to do this time is we take conscious, calculated and smaller calls at different stages whenever we have felt that there is some sort of a correction or a dip, keeping in mind our ultimate selling price and our working. We feel that this has kind of worked for us in this quarter. It may not necessarily work always, but yes, this time in this quarter, and also the lingering effect of this would continue in the last quarter of the financial year. So yeah, to that extent, I think we have been able to kind of ride this curve of very, very drastic fluctuations.
Okay, and typically how much inventory would you keep for the raw material?
So we try to work on the basis of across all categories on an average of about 100 to 120 days of inventory. However, between each category, it may slightly fluctuate depending upon how sure we are of the next parcel and how we see the market behaving.
And another question on the production, right? So your volumes, you said, was hit by about 25,000 because of the relining maintenance. So
just to add another angle to it.
Please complete Kalli Jatna question, sir. Sorry.
No. So I was wondering, in Q4, should you be able to do 220,000? I mean, just add the 25,000 which you lost in terms of production and volumes.
So, sir, a bit of the capital shutdown came into the first month of the quarter as well. But saying that we are going to be coming out of the shutdown with higher production due to the improvements that we have made, and of course in the south unit, we are seeing it getting better and better. So it will be difficult to give you an exact number, but the tonnage will be close to what you're mentioning, yes.
Also, just to add that we have not exactly lost so much production, because before we went into shutdown, we were operating at a higher efficiency level, because of which, before going to shutdown, we were able to actually do a little bit more than what we would have done in ordinary course. So keeping that in mind, maybe the loss of production would be lesser than 20K. And I think that already we could say is more than made up in totality with higher output from the other units. So in totality, yeah, the loss of production would be very negligible when we close the year also.
Right. So you're, you said 50,000 increase in capacity, is it, after the relining from the eastern unit?
Annually, yes, please.
Okay, so your over capacity, does it become 9,50,000 then after the expansion? Or would you say still 9,00,000?
As I said, sir, in the past conferences as well, the rated installed capacity will be around 9,00,000 tons, and with debottlenecking, we will fall somewhere between 9 to 9.5, something in the middle of that.
Okay. So it's fair to assume for the new capacity, you can do like 70% utilization or what in the next year, the coming year?
The next coming year, sir, if the past is of any use of example, I would say that we will probably end up with close to 100%, if not at least 95%.
So, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Kaushik Shekhar from Vermilion Value Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just want to understand this. What is the amount of sales you are getting from the irrigation segment currently or for these 9 months? And whether the government is going slow on irrigation because the projects on the drinking water are going on, and whether this is affecting their plans for, you know, improving the irrigation using piping.
Sir, could you repeat the last part of the question, please?
Whether the government is going slow on using DI pipes for irrigation because the market is already tight for the drinking water usage. The CapEx projects for drinking water are themselves, you know, running quite tight. So are they slowing down on the irrigation?
Sir, the overall percentage of the irrigation in the demand scenario today would be 15%. And the government is, I don't see the government really wanting to substitute ductile iron pipes owing to its superior performance. As mentioned, there was a bit of a over-demand scenario which was momentary. Going forward also, there is a slight gap between demand and supply, but I think the quality of the product is such that things are getting a little delayed, but the preference is to ductile iron. And with the industry capacity growing, they are able to meet customer requirements. This is the reason why I was mentioning earlier in the conference call that I look at this as a support rather than a problem.
Yeah. So actually my question is that because the supply situation is tight and they want to complete the drinking water on a timely basis, are they just pushing the irrigation projects a little out in time? That was the question.
So there is a bit of a balancing act going on, yes. You see the capital available with irrigation is largely a state subject. There is not a lot of central support on that front. There's a lot of outside agency supports like the ADB and KFWs, etc. But, you know, since the first thing to be met is drinking water, states are wanting to flow their funds towards that first as priority and then into irrigation. There are some exceptions to this, of course, but that nitty-gritty varies from state to state. But largely, there is a preference towards drinking water over irrigation, yes.
So would it be right to say that the potential for irrigation would be much more improved if it is be possible to supply more pipes to that sector in the coming years? Not now, but over 3 to 5 years.
Most definitely, sir. I think as we are moving towards a situation of fluctuating climate and India being a very disproportionate country in terms of water availability, piped irrigation will become more and more the need. Right now we are looking at new pipelines, but we haven't even scratched the surface on converting the existing canal-based irrigation pipelines to piped. So this is the reason why there's such a positive outlook, sir, because there are so many avenues which are yet to even start getting explored in the demand scenario, that the slowdown of one over the next 2-3 years will see a bring up of the other.
Also, are you seeing any projects where repurposing wastewater for industry by moving them around? Are there any projects in which your company has participated to supply?
Repurposing water, sir, our south plant, the water that is used there is a repurposed water as well. So, or pipes we hamare lage hain wahan par. So, I think the best example to give would be for that. We are using the wastewater from Tirupati in our Kalahasti plant. So, one example is that there are a lot of these projects now being envisaged. A few of them have come up in states like Odisha. But Amrut is seeing the use of this logic a lot more. So, although there is not an abundant use case for what you're mentioning, going forward, I'm quite
optimistic on the, us being a more circular economy from the water perspective.
My last question is that now that you know you are.
May I request you to come in the queue for follow-up questions?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Saloni Hemnani from Molecule Ventures PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I was late to join in, so I might have a couple of questions that might be repetitive.
No problem.
My first question is regarding the realization of DI pipes. What sort of realization trend are we seeing that is shaping up right now for the future, sir?
Keeping in mind that both the demand scenario and the supply scenario seems to be progressively growing, I think stability is the right word to be used for the foreseeable future in terms of realization.
Okay. Makes sense. Sir, regarding the volumes of for the next upcoming quarter, I had a question because in the last call when I asked it, we were basically saying that we would be targeting around 7.15 lakh of volumes in this year. But if you see, despite the shutdowns that we took in quarter one and quarter three, we have been able to do phenomenally well in production numbers. So any particular quarterly run rate that are we looking at?
Ma'am, so the reason behind this is, we worked out internally and realized that even with the shutdown, because of the shutdown, say, in quarter one, and now that we've taken this shutdown right now, the overall gain will be far greater than the short-term loss. So we are seeing better results than what we had personally envisaged. Our team is performing very well. The advantages of operational efficiencies are kicking in even greater than what we expected. In regard to a run rate, ma'am, I think for the first two quarters, we will be running at a pro rata of what would be close to, say, just a second, I'll help you out with the exact number. We will be seeing around a rate of close to, say, 8 lakh tons per annum for the first two quarters. This is a pro rata, I'm saying it will be for that. And subsequently, it will be a pro rata run rate of annualized 9 lakh tons.
That's amazing, sir. Sir, a follow-up on this would be because given the realizations and the RM softening up, we had a huge jump in our margins. You know, this is operating leverage kicking in as well as the realizations being in our favor.
Your voice is very muffled. Could you please repeat the last the question, please?
Am I audible now, sir?
Much better.
Yeah, so my question was regarding the operating leverage kicking in and giving us around 20% margins. What would be the sustainable, because we have already mentioned that a sustainable level, we look at 15 to 17% margins. So going forward, do we stick to the same number or are we revising it?
This is a long-term number. I think in the short to medium term, we should see slightly better margins.
Any ballpark figure for that, sir?
Yeah, ma'am, it won't be right for me to give you an exact number.
Understandable, sir.
Yeah, but positive that it will remain on the higher end, a little north
sure.
of what the long term is.
Just one last question from my side, as I know we are limited to three questions. So the capex done on the Srikalahasti unit, as we have planned, around 260 crore was spent and 200 crore was planned to be spent in H2. So how much have we spent in that, and is the timeline, are we sticking to the timeline? Will we be able to achieve that?
They're being maintained, ma'am. We've spent around 340 crores as on quarter three end. So we are pretty much on track.
Okay, sir. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations, sir, on excellent performance.
Thank you, Bharat.
Thank you.
I have only one question, say, the kind of, I mean, demand that we are envisaging, not only India, from even Middle East and some of European market that you have given the commentary. So what is our long-term, I mean, say, 5 years kind of, I mean, growth plan? Because once we, I believe, will be able reaching full capacity utilization somewhere in mid FY26. So beyond that, what exactly are we doing to grow ourselves?
Sir, there is a good amount of attention being drawn towards our value-added profile. One of the products that we have seen substantial growth in is our fittings and castings unit.
Correct.
Which is a high-value product. In fact, we are envisaging almost 20% growth in that in the next financial year.
Fair.
So that is one area of concentration for us. We are looking at increasing our product basket on the value-added front as well by starting to get into other products within the water infrastructure gambit. So, yes, this is our, once we establish ourselves at a certain level in ductile iron pipes, we will then work on getting to an even better position on our fittings and other value-added product portfolio. Apart from that, sir, we're keeping our ears close to the ground for any opportunities that come our way.
So currently, value-added is how much as a percentage of our top line, and where do you like to over next 3 years to see that?
Value-added products is contributing around 10% of our total revenue right now.
Fair. And where would it, yeah.
For the immediate future, it will be in this range only.
Okay. So, as I mean, I wanted to understand our three to five years kind of a growth plan.
So, sir, because of the increase in ductile iron pipes total capacity, the percentage contribution of value added will remain similar. But on absolute terms, as I mentioned, there is an immediate impact of growth of 20% in the next financial year itself. After that, we are expecting to grow that at a rate of 7 to 10% and take it forward beyond that, looking at the market scenario. In regard to new products, I think it won't be correct for me to really give you anything right now because there's nothing concrete, but there are things that we are planning.
Great. And all the best, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Subhash from Value Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the good number. I just have one question on your CAPEX plan. So I see that the total CAPEX plan that you have planned is 650 crores, right? And out of that, 340 crores has already been spent. I assume this is for phase one, and I'm sorry if I missed this in the earlier calls. So could you tell us if this phase one plan is already executed and if it is contributing to the top line?
Good afternoon, and thank you. This is the phase two now that we've entered in terms of our CAPEX spending. Phase one has already come into effect in terms of volumes, and we've reached 100% utilization for the same.
Oh, okay. Because in the presentation, I see that the total capacity is 6,80,000, even for FY24 estimated. So is it still 6,80,000, or has it gone up more than that?
So we are expecting to close the year at around 7.4 lakh tons.
Okay, great.
Yes, please.
Okay. And my last question is, after the phase two is completed, you said it would come into effect in starting of FY26, right? So would it have complete 100% utilization, or will it take some 6 months' time to get 100% utilization?
I am quite optimistic, seeing our trend is of the past, that we will get to 100% capacity utilization.
Okay.
Very, very quickly.
Okay, very quickly, meaning, I mean, since it gets closed in FY25 mid, so you said it would come into effect by FY26. So we can expect it to be 100% utilized by FY26, right?
Yes, sir. Maybe even slightly earlier.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you so much. And it's wonderful to see that your cash profit is increasing and your long-term debt as guided is decreasing, almost 46% decrease from last year. That's wonderful to see. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, this will be the last question. Now I hand the conference to the management for closing remarks.
I'd like to thank everybody for taking out their valuable time for attending the call and hearing us patiently and for your continued interest in our company. With the support of all our stakeholders, we have been growing consistently and at the same time strengthening our balance sheet. We are well positioned to be benefiting from the growing water infra spending in the domestic and export markets. If you have any other further queries, please feel free to reach out to our ENY IR team. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Electro Steel Castings Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.